Nobody really want fuego. Masayo will bring fire down worse than Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego, your egos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of meso. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Masayo ain't playing no wiggles. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies of April. Even with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or marry the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so our Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it, cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Protect your sin so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, I salute, I salute.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From the one that's too fatigued.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's too fatigued.
Fuego.
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 Brother, you don't want that fuego.
Hey. Fuego. Hey.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Shalom, happy Sabbath, Captain Amariah.
Shalom, happy Sabbath, Soldier Ruvain.
All praises. We haven't had Soldier Rain in a long while. That voice sounds familiar.
It does.
That sounds like the voice that was just on the intro music.
Fuego.
Whoa, there it is.
You don't want that fuego.
Fuego. I know, we were just talking about it. We got to put like a different song on, but I like fuego.
It means fire.
It does.
And it brings the heat in the morning. You know?
Hey, I'll play.
It wakes us up. You know?
I need a little heat today. I don't feel as fired up as I normally do.
You know what? It's been a long week, but it's a Sabbath, so I'll praise the Most High for that.
I started off fired up. I finished just, you know, like, and last night after I finished my class, I was fired up.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know, but it's tough, bro. You get beat down.
Captivity just weighs you down.
It does, bro.
No, I get it. Trust
it really
me.
Does.
Trust me.
I know. And, you know, people think, you know, captivity has a lot of aspects to it. Captivity is not just, you know, some people are like, well, you know, you're a business owner or you're this or that, so it's not really captivity. The captivity doesn't have to do with money. It has to do with the condition that people are in, the stupid shit they still do. Pardon my language. You know how I always joke. That with that. This ain't FCC freaking
right.
Censored.
Right.
Beep, beep.
Bring it out. Bring it out. Bring it out, Howard.
People still be on. Still on that bullshit.
Dang.
And no, and I'm not even talking about sin. Some people might think I'm talking about, like, obvious stuff. I'm not. I'm just talking about the sin, the obscure little things that's, like, easy for people to, like, do and deal with. And just don't follow it. People don't follow counsel. That's captivity. That's a captive thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a captive thing. Anyway, welcome to the show. I did not put... Because, you know, like the past two shows that I've done, I put that I want to talk about the Ponce Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And I never get to talk about the Ponce Massacre. Watch today, I have time.
Right.
I didn't put it. But if we have time, I'll speak about that. And then if not, I'll make it like a feature of the show.
Good history.
I want to go over it, right? And, you know, I was supposed to go over it in 2018.
Thanks.
It's 2019. Because how recent it was, you know, and under, you know, sovereign soil type of thing, under U.S.'s watch. So we'll see. I didn't even put it in the description. I didn't mention it because, like I said, the past two shows I put up there, and I don't talk about it.
Right.
I'll talk about something else.
I mean, first it was that was mentioned in 2017. It was a song that was written sent to you in 2017.
Wow, bring that up. Was it 2017 when you sent me that other music?
Yeah. Like December going into
captivity. Captivity. Well, the sound is out on the Facebook side. I had asked for us to get nice premium cables. You still see some disheveled cables.
Disheveled.
Like them. Hey, can we do something about that? Can we get, you know, I'll give them the money so we can get good cables. I've said this a few times.
I've said it a few times.
Everybody wants to be a cheap Jew.
Everyone wants to be a cheap Jew.
Anyway. So last week I was on the West.
How'd that go?
It went great, man. I was tired. I got back and I was exhausted. My back hurts. But that's just because I'm old. I can't talk.
He's not that old. I'm only three years younger than you.
Yo, you had to see my brother. He said, which fork do I use? I said, whichever the fuck.
I did curse. I said, whichever one you want. I said, because nobody's watching you. Now,
right.
I said, now, if you're asking me what's the right way to do it,
yeah.
you're supposed to go outside it. And I said, but, you know, and when they come in clear, they'll clear per course. They'll clear the utensil. I said, so listen, you know, I said, they'll clear it and reposition it for you anyway. But really, right, you just use whatever you want. The point I'm making is that you shouldn't let things like that, like, ruin your experience, because that's part of what you pay for. Now, some nights the food in the main dining room is not that great,
right.
but it's a little more gourmet than the Windjammer, right? So anyway, we get there, right? And, you know, we're going through the courses and everything, and it's pretty good. You know, I had some mushroom soup. I was like, all right, this is on point. It's
and
really good.
And what day was this?
This is the first night.
This was Sunday night.
This is Sunday night on the cruise, right? So Sunday night, we're there. Someone said, just be ghetto. Yes, the Windjammer to me is when I say Sizzler, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, subliminally.
Right? Hey, don't get me wrong. I was piling my plate high, man. Just
no,
all
bet.
Types of
oh,
like, listen, I was interracial on my plate.
Man.
All right. Like, my plate was interracial. Like, you want to talk, you know, it food wise. I'm all about interracial marriage. I had nachos with spaghetti. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Curry with, like, you know, freaking
cereal.
Cereal, whatever.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Burgers and fries with, like, you know, Asian stir fry, you know,
man,
whatever.
Bring it out.
Right. So, you know, on my plate, you know, you can intermingle.
Right.
The
on
races.
The plate.
On the plate. Sounds
to me like you was wind jamming, right?
Yeah.
Well,
sounds like you had a good time.
I'm going to get to my point.
Okay. All right.
Why I was wind jamming. I had no choice but to wind jam.
Okay.
But no, that's not true, because I went to the premium restaurants a lot of nights. You know, you pay a little upcharge and go.
Okay.
Because
so,
I like my dinner experience.
First night on the cruise.
All right. We're there. You know, we're having a good time. You know, just starting to settle in on the ship and whatever. We're talking about, okay, next day we're hitting the Bahamas, whatever. You know, they're bringing the foods out, you know. Had a little wine, you know, feeling good, you know, waiting for dessert,
right.
Waiting for dessert and coffee, right? You know, I'm gluten-free, and they actually had a pretty good gluten-free dessert, and I was like, oh, I'm looking forward to it, because I like sweets.
Right.
All right? And they do this thing where the head waiter for your section comes around, and he introduces himself every night. Now, mind you, we had a whole section of the dining room,
mm-hmm.
right? We had, like, this huge section. There was almost 300 of us, including the women, right? And so we had one whole side of it. So, I mean, it's pretty evident who we are, right? And I'm not even talking about IUIC. You could see that we're Israelites. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, plus, sorry to joke that. Plus, this is day one, right? So,
yes.
So you know, the sisters came with, like, the big head wraps.
Oh, right.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah. No,
like,
the sisters looked lovely. They had their biggest
right,
head wraps, the biggest earrings,
right.
The best makeup, all
so,
that
so
stuff.
So it
like
was,
that.
Like, really
yes.
a show then.
Yes. They were showing up. I mean, the men didn't care, but guys were there, T-shirts or whatever. But,
right,
you know,
of course. Naturally.
The next night, I think, was supposed to be, like, the formal night where we were going to come with our garments and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were going to, like, really show out with, like, the
mm-hmm.
Passover garments stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But the sisters, you know, they always take, you know, the women, they always take it. Guys don't care.
Yeah.
You know, we walk around with the socks and the flip-flops and, you know, just come into the dining room. But anyway, so they know who we were. Fringes showing, beards, all that. They knew. This guy knew. So this guy's going to every table and he's making an introduction. And I say, hey, I'm Jacob from Israel.
He was the waiter.
He was the head waiter.
Yeah, he was the head waiter.
Older guy. Head waiter. So, you know, we're there, we're enjoying ourselves, whatever. So he comes over to our table finally. So he gets more in earshot and we hear what he's been saying. And he comes and he says, hey, hello, everybody. Good evening. My name is Jacob. I'm Jacob from Israel, and I am the only Israelite on board. And if you know anything about Israelis, Amalek, you know, Jewish imposters, they don't refer
to
themselves as Israelites.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
They don't use that term. Nobody in the earth uses that term except us.
That's right.
And they'll say Israeli, or they'll say Jewish,
mm-hmm.
right? Or Jew. They'll say that. We saw it instantly for what it was. Like the air got sucked out the room, because it was like, to me, it was like he came to our table, introduced himself, and then spit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's how I felt. And we were all like in... We're like, okay, well, what do we do? Do we freaking curse this guy out? Do we, you know, we're not gonna hem him up, you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
Because we're all gonna, the brig ain't big enough for us, you know.
Right.
They're gonna, it's too many of us, you know. And So Deacon Abiel goes and he starts, you know, talking with him off to the side. And, you know, he's being very diplomatic, right? Because you got to remember, man, they expect us to be that. They expected us to ham him up. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
to be Negroes.
But the audacity of this guy to mm-hmm. come and spit in our face and say that. Like he, like you know what I'm saying?
Bro,
like
the
he's trying.
Pride.
Yeah,
the pride
bro. Damn. Yeah, man. That's exactly what it is. And he, you know, after maybe about 5 minutes, you know, Abiel comes back and you know he was saying how you know he was trying to say no, he didn't mean anything like that. He's just saying that that's where he's from. And he's like, come on, man. You know what you're saying? You know that's offensive. Whatever. You know, and so he comes over and he apologizes. So, you know, Abiel basically told me, he's like, bro, you need to apologize to like every table or whatever. So he went and he apologized. This is Deacon Abiel I'm talking about. So he goes and he apologizes, but we just got up. Like, and so, you know, I didn't get to have my cobbler.
Ooh.
Oh, not the cobbler.
My not the right
cobbler.
Like,
oh, man.
That was going to be my next question.
I was ready.
What type of dessert was
bro,
it? Is a cobbler.
It was
he loves cobbler.
It was like a peach and some type of berry, like some berry that like my ignorant ass from the Bronx never heard of. Like, you know,
so you had to try it.
I had to try it. I said it had berry intrigued. At the end of it. I don't know, you know, in front of it, I don't know, but it had berry at the end of it. And, you know, and I love my coffee, so I was ready to have my coffee. And,
dang,
you know,
dang, no coffee.
So we got up and we're ready to walk out. And then, like, the waiter's like, oh, but wait, your desserts. And we're like, nah, we're good. A part of him goes, we can take it to go.
Dang. Gift destroys the heart.
Hey.
He's but, like, but, I wasn't that offended.
Hey, for one split second, I almost caved and said, I said, yeah, let's take it to go.
Dang.
And then I said, no, but we got to walk out in solidarity. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
I said, we got to get out of this thing together.
Right.
And so we all walked out together. And so we went, we made a complaint. Long story short, we never went back to the main dining room after that because we wanted them to do something, you know what I'm saying? So they were like, oh, well, he's not going to be in your section. And we're like, okay, but, you know, when we went to complain, they were like, he's been there 46 years.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, so he's going to freaking put all,
mm-hmm.
he's going to defile our food or
mm-hmm.
anything like
that's
that
right.
just to freaking,
yep.
so it's like, we can't freaking eat there
it's
anymore.
Security risk.
Right, yep. yeah, we can't eat there anymore. And it's like, to them, they didn't understand the offense. So, like, you know, we had to like articulate it differently. We're like, listen, that's like, he basically came up and said, you're a bunch of niggas.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I was like, if somebody came up and did that, or he says, or even more, if somebody come up and called a table of faggots, y'all would have had the ship in an uproar.
Right. Yep.
But you know, y'all not getting like how offensive this is to us. He says, well, even if it was Jews, it's like someone going up to some Jewish people and saying there was no Holocaust. It's a lie.
That's what I was doing
to their
yep.
face.
Yep.
That's the type. That's the level of offense that we had off of that. So that's why we wound up wind jamming the whole time.
Wind jamming,
and we didn't get our dining experience because of that.
So but what was their final like?
They were like, you name something first. So apparently they gave like a $25 credit and like a bottle of champagne to everybody. But you know that's nothing for them.
What?
You know, like because
wow.
a credit goes back into the ship anyway.
Right.
Right. And then you know that champagne, they get that shit like for pennies on the dollar. So. You know, they try to placate us with that. But, you know, long story short, they were like, ah, you got to get back to, you know, the headquarters is in Florida. We don't make those type of decisions on the ship. This is the best that we could do on the ship or whatever. And I don't know. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I mean, you know, our business has only grown with them as a cruise line. And this is Royal Caribbean has only grown with them as a cruise line. And, you know, you figure it started with 28 people. This is the fourth one. We had almost 300. And, you know, it's probably only going to increase.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're exploring other cruise lines to go and do the quest. Or if they come back and, you know, they say, hey, you know, half off or whatever, 30 off on your next cruise or whatever it might be, maybe we'll consider that. But
it's a gesture. A semi-fair gesture.
Yeah, you know, and just make sure Jacob's not on that ship.
Right.
Oh, and then the fact that his name was Jacob, too. At that, I mean, the pride in thine heart has deceived thee.
Yeah,
my
sure
goodness,
has. Sure has.
I mean, to really just have that level of pomp to just walk up and be like, "Hey," and I mean, and then like you said, because he knew, he sees the fringes, he sees the head wraps,
he was offended.
He sees the solidarity, right? He sees
yeah.
the unity amongst the brothers and sisters, and he was offended. At
That's
that.
Right,
man.
Yep. So yeah, man. So I mean, that was the negative thing on the ship, but the quest itself was incredible, you know. And you know, a lot of good scriptures were coming out while we were on there. You know, we did a little men's conference, and, you know, we did our little roundtable. You know, y'all see the documentary, and you'll be able to see kind of what footage makes it. I was very impressed with some of the Northern Kingdom brothers that I had not seen teach. And, you know, because that is one knock I hear against Northern Kingdom. Like, you know, sometimes some brothers, they just don't teach. They're very, like, kind of monotone. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's boring. It was boring. They don't have fire in it. The men we had with us, man, they had conviction, man. Like, yeah, these brothers, they, yep. Yeah. They brought the fuego. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fuego.
Can I bring up a scripture?
Go ahead.
And then ask you a question?
Yeah.
Like, pertaining to this?
Sure.
This is St. Matthew 28, verse 19. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." So we know that when it says go and teach all nations, this is referring to the nations where the Israelites, the so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans have been scattered throughout the four corners of the earth in captivity. Now, the question I want to ask you, going on this quest for to go wake up the lost tribes of Israel, being a part of this prophecy coming to pass, right, that aspect of it, like, how does that feel for you as far as your time in this walk?
Hey, you know, I mean, I'm always reflecting on that as far as my time in this walk. And it's not even, I mean... Right, I think I'm going on 11 years soon. I'm pretty close to like my 11 year mark. I usually just count Passovers because I don't remember exactly what month or whatever.
You're almost in junior high.
Yes.
Okay. I'll praise.
So right. So the point I want to make is, like, you know, the years. Some people hear it and they're like, wow. But I mean, that don't really mean anything. Like, I look at it more from where we were.
Mm-hmm.
And where we were, and I'm talking about this existing body that we have. Was a handful of men. I mean, you know, maybe it was 15, including the leaders and stuff. When I started learning, and almost, I want to say, maybe with the exception of two or three, almost everybody's still here that was there from then.
Dang.
Yeah, they're still with us. Most of them you see as your deacons. So the mm-hmm. big chunk of them are the deacons and the bishops, and then. There's a handful of us captains who were here from the very beginning. Myself, Abiel, Officer Ramaya is still with us. He was there pretty early on. Other than that, everybody else kind of came afterwards and whatnot. And the reason I say that is not to sit there and say, oh, I mean, even though there is honor in that, we know that according to Romans, you know, those who are in Christ first, their honor should be given unto brothers and sisters that are like that. But I see... It's only the power of the Most High that can show the conviction. Because never in my wildest dreams would I have thought or even understood in that moment. I don't know. I guess I'm always pretty good at trying to put myself back in more or less what my mindset was back then.
Mm-hmm.
And my head was spinning back then when this truth came out, because it was just like, what the hell is all? I mean, I believed it and I knew it, but it was just like, oh my gosh, like
right.
This is like mind blowing to me. But to go on the quest and to see the level of teaching. To see how we could mobilize and put ourselves in a situation like that in something that is seen really just purely as a vacation type of vehicle, right?
Right.
We took that and made it into a vehicle, a means to go out and preach this gospel. And if you think about it, it's very economical because it mm-hmm. would have cost us to mobilize that many men.
Mm-hmm.
on planes and flights and hotels to actually hit these countries. So, I mean, it's actually quite ingenious that we would go on a ship and do this. And yes, it's quick hits. On a normal trip, we might spend 3, 4, 5, maybe up to 7 days in a place. I mean, you just talk about the leverage that we had in doing that. So going back to having been in this truth for a while and seeing this, and to see the growth, and like I said, the way the men were all, I mean, just focused and motivated and ready to roll and uniformed. And I mean, just everybody was so focused on the mission, man. You know, it's like mm-hmm. when it was time to roll, you know, you didn't see nobody just swimming in the pool or whatever. Like, bro, right, what are you doing? Right. Let's go.
Right.
You know, yeah, we enjoyed dinner at night and we hung out. I know me mostly, man. You know, I hung out a little bit like for, you know, just for the sake of not having seen some of these brothers for a while. But I was doing a Rouvain most nights, man. I was tired. I was tired, man. I was. Cause we put in labor, man. I mean, that's the biggest thing that you get out of this. I mean, I know people are going to see in their mind, well, it's a cruise ship, and you think cruise ship and you think fun and games. You know, you had little moments. I mean, it was a full itinerary. It was four stops in 7 days. It's not even seven full days because Sundays was a partial day as you went on. There was one day at sea in right after the Bahamas, and then coming back a day at sea. But I mean, you know, you had one day, boom, and then we had, you know, and then even the day that we were at sea, we had like an event together that morning for a few hours. Then we had the wedding, which was beautiful. It's probably one of the best weddings we've had, I think, ever. The venue was incredible.
No,
I mean,
it looked great. Like, you see everyone, like, up on the balcony. It makes you think of when it says, in the whole host of heaven.
Right.
Like,
I was joking with Deacon Lava, and I said, maybe people now will wait, because they're going to wait for the Crest to do their wedding.
Right.
Now they're going to wait to do the marriage.
They're going to pick a sister all the way across country to prove. You know what I'm saying?
Just so they could do it on there.
Right.
But it was powerful to see that going out into all nations and understanding it's because we're scattered. And being able to hit these spots, and we weren't just at the tourist things. I mean, the last day we were on a bus for 2 hours to get to where we were going to go do camp and do the radio shows, just to kind of make sure that we went deep into the hoods. Honduras, I think, was the most impactful for everybody. See,
I wanted to ask you about that. Like, how did that go?
Yeah. Honduras was incredible too, man. I mean, you get off. I mean, because we were in Roatan, right? So it's like the island off the coast of Honduras.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still Honduras, though. And it's kind of like John on Patmos.
Right,
right, right, right. So we
get on this island. It's not a big island. And, I mean, gosh, the level – all praise to the Most High in Christ, first of all, let me say for these brothers that did the research on these places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was like a year in the making.
Right.
Like, these brothers are already gearing up, doing the research for the next one and the next itinerary and stuff. Bro, they gave us little booklets – like with what you needed for permits, history of the island and the people, what languages they spoke.
Like a dossier.
Bro, it was like a dossier on everything. Pictures of the camp spots, the routes that we had to take to get there, if you got lost, what you did, where the cops were, where this was. I mean, these brothers went in. You want to talk about a level of organization. Bro, it was insane. It was insane. But, and I'm telling you, that's only the Spirit of the Most High that allows us to move that way.
Right.
To do some stuff like that.
But we just a bunch of Negroes having fun on a cruise ship.
Right. Well, that's what they wanted. They wanted us to. But it was like, I mean, and I don't know, maybe some brothers aren't into that stuff with the intel or whatever, but I was like, I know, me and a partner, we were like, yo, make sure we got our.
Studying it.
You know, take it away. Yeah. Hey, did you bring it? Yeah, we brought it. But I used it, like, because the camps were spread out, and, you know, we had to walk a little bit between the camps. So, you know, I'm here, like, using maps and stuff, because, you know, the cell service doesn't work too good in some of these places we were at, if at all. So, you know, they did a good labor in doing that. So Honduras, right? So we get there, you know, and everybody's like, first of all, every time we cut off the ship, man, everybody's seen the purple and gold and uniform. And you know, we made sure, like, we didn't start doing our chanting or whatever until we got, like, you know, into the regular areas.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're in the tourist areas, we're just walking. But, I mean, you see, you know, almost 200 men just orderly and walking along like that. And I don't just say 200 men. They knew what they were seeing.
Right.
Even our own people were looking at us like, how the hell do you get this many freaking, you know, Negroes together like this and they in order?
And quiet.
And, man, I'm telling you, so we would have our briefing. I mean, but I think I said on the round table we had with the thoughts afterwards. And I was like, I said, I felt like I was back. Cause that's one thing I liked about Esau's military was the structure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always like that was easy for me. Like, I wasn't a dirtbag, like, you know, uniform standards. I mean, you know, I was an honor graduate out of basic, like, you know. They're stressing me over how I folded my stuff, and I'm like, I love this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm neat and structured like that. So, that aspect of structure and being rigid like that was good for me. And I felt like that, man. We had our briefings. We broke up in our teams. We lined up, and it's all right. You know, camp one. You know, team one. And all right, yeah, you're on this bus. And but I felt like it was troop deployments. You know, making sure everybody got on, making sure you know. All right, yeah, we the first ones off, checking it out. And we bust into the island, boom, 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 boom. And, I mean, you saw immediately the difference as we left the tourist areas and we get into there. And Honduras, man, like, we went in. Like, I'm talking about, like, into the, like, the middle inward parts of the island to where the people were, man. I mean, there was no, you know, U.S. dollars being used there. There was, I mean, it was like seeing them in everyday life. They weren't there hawking to us,
right?
You know, and things like that. It was like their markets, their stuff, their,
their little, you know, shanty type towns that they had, because that's how it is, and bringing that word out, and just how everybody, I mean, people coming from their windows, people, I mean, you know, we had the speakers, so the houses were like, you know, some of them are up on hills and elevations, and they're coming out, and they're just, you know, and then some of them, you know, they stayed, and some were so compelled by what they heard that they just made it their point to come down to where we were at, so mm-hmm. that they can listen more intently and closely. Some people, man, there was this older lady. You know, I often think about when Christ says you can't pour new wine into old bottles, but that's a general rule, but there are exceptions. But you had this older woman there, man. She reminded me of my grandmother a little bit, and she was there the whole time that we were there. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know, like 3-4 hours just standing there in the heat, just like boom, like, mm. you know, just in total agreement in everything that was coming out, in total agreement, you know. And then we made sure that we do this tactic now where we take the names and emails and numbers of people who are interested so that we can follow up. We're not just going to do this to drop seeds and then they'll cultivate what we plant there.
That was going to be my next thing is there's so much structure and organization as far as planning it. And that's the other side of it, is that there's so much organization and structure as far as follow-upping with it as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you had said that that it's ingenious that you know, we go on these cruise ships and we hit these places and whatnot. And it's just crazy how the Most High works, right? Into Egypt again with ships, and then now with ships, he's taken to these scattered places and waking up his people.
That's just right.
Hey, to me, that's the turning of things upside down, man.
It
you know,
really
like
is, right.
Isaiah,
it really
and it
is.
Talks about, you know, it'll be esteemed as the potter's clay.
Yep.
It's like he'll use whatever means he'll make available for us to go out and do what we got to do.
Right.
You know, for us to go out and say, and I had saw a brother, he had posted that, and he goes, oh, you know what's heavy? And I was like, wow, I was like, that makes so much sense. We mm-hmm. went into captivity on ships, and we're using ships to go and bring this word, you know,
mm-hmm.
To like you said in Matthew, to preach to all nations.
It's insane.
That's right.
It's insane. Just like how the Most High works and like everything else. It the pictures that like I was seeing, right, of how people were just so into the word, right? And it wasn't in just one location. It was everywhere you guys had stopped, people were just like dying for
an
it.
Astonishment.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. There was a few scoffers, but I mean, that game was weak. I mean, you can't
play.
It was play. I mean, not most of them are if you know
right.
the basic stuff. But,
right.
I'm telling you, by and large, I still say Cuba was the best reception I've seen. I haven't been to Haiti. I heard that they're really into it in Haiti. I think the brothers that have gone to Haiti will tell you like they're very receptive to hear it there. But Cuba to me, because brothers were asking me, oh, you know, was it like Cuba? And I was like, nah. I said Cuba was, it was unreal. Like Cuba was unreal.
And then you know how, you know that Cuba was unreal, and then was the best too, because Satan shut that thing down in like
a second.
Like two,
it,
was like,
it felt like
oh,
to say, well, I think,
said, oh, nope.
I think we were only able to do 2 hours.
Satan said, oh, nope, yep, nope,
yeah,
shut it down.
Yep,
shut it down.
We were only able to do 2 hours, and then before we got locked up.
Man,
hey, they let us go though, man. We didn't have to stay overnight or anything. They let us go. Hey, I tell you that I still say that's the power of the U.S. passport. I was telling brothers, you know, there was one brother who will remain nameless, a captain, not my brother here, but another captain. That I'm like, bro, you don't got your passport with you? He's like, nah, man, I don't need that. And I was like, bro, I said, remember Cuba? I said, once they saw it was a U.S., I said, if we were from any other country, they would have freaking detained us indefinitely.
Bro, I literally take my passport with me everywhere.
I said, bro, you better take that thing with you. And it's funny because, like, as we were going, like, the next day, like, they were like, make sure you take your passports and whatever. I was like, oh, now because Esau said it.
He got his passport right now.
He in America, he got his passport with him.
I take it everywhere.
He stay strapped.
I don't know why. I just.
Right.
Ever since it came in the mail, it just has never left my pocket.
Except when you wash it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, how receptive they were. I think what I mean, I don't know how many. I mean, we had like 8 camps at sometimes, sometimes 4 when we made them bigger camps. You might have had one person who was in disagreement with the image. Like, oh, everybody was like, yeah, okay, yeah, all right, that makes sense. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, this is what I see as Christ. And they were looking at Caesar. This is what I see as Christ.
growing up, but what you're showing me makes sense,
right.
You know? And I don't know. I don't know if it's just like in Spanish, like, cause I often think, you know, English has so many synonyms and different things for word, you know, so many words for the same word. Like
right.
Spanish is usually pretty straightforward. Like it's pretty much usually one word
mm-hmm.
for what you want to say. It's not a whole bunch of different words that you would use. So it's very direct. It's a very direct language. So maybe it has to do with that, that when you talk about, you know, like in color and similar to, you know, burnt brass and whatever, that they're just on it. But they were on it. They
okay,
were
well, let me ask you this. As far as the reception you got in Honduras and Mexico, how were those as far as the image goes? Because we know that Northern Kingdom especially is very heavy.
Issachar bucked
images.
Up more than
okay,
mm-hmm.
okay. That's what
did.
That was that's
Issachar,
that's what I was getting
to. Issachar bucked up a little more.
Because that's what got me the most when I
yeah.
first came into this walk was the fact that here was a so called Mexican brother so adamantly telling me, like, yo, Christ is black. Christ is black. Because growing up here in Phoenix, I grew up around Issachar and seeing them worship, you know, false images, I'm like, guys, like, really, really believing that Christ is black. There has to like there. So there's power in just hearing that alone. That's why I was
yeah.
curious about that.
Yeah, Issachar bucks up a little more.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I'm sorry, Issachar, man. I love y'all, but yeah, y'all got a little elitist. You know what? Let me stop being so politically correct. Y'all a little snobby.
A little bit.
Yeah,
and by Issachar, we're talking about the so-called Mexicans.
Yes, yeah, so we're talking about so-called Mexicans. They could be a little snobby about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you would think that that would be a tough one. And it was like the not a lot, but it's even then it wasn't by and large. It wasn't. But the Hondurans, and I got to tell you, it's a very varied mix. Honduras is a very speckled bird because you have Benjamin and Zebulon there. But you have to look at it like this also. Going back historically, you know, it's Arawaks and Caribs, right? So,
mm-hmm.
and there, it's almost very evenly split.
Right.
So, it's funny, because on the bus we were on, I had this Benjamite arguing with a Zebulonite. So, our driver was Zebulon, and I guess, I don't know if he was like a street hustler, but they were just like basically cursing each other out. And it was funny, because they were cursing each other out in Spanish and in, like, you know, the broken Benjamin English that they do too. So it was like, it was just hilarious, man. It was funny. And Taji won because, you know, the bus was cramped, bro. There was like 30 of us on a freaking bus.
Right.
So, you know, you have those little jumper seats. So, you know, we're in the front and I'm next to Taji won's like, yo, bro, relax, bro. It's going to be okay. Telling the Benjamite outside. Bro, it was just funny, bro. It was just like a real funny moment. And I was just like, damn,
man.
I was like, this is crazy. You know, because you used to see it was the ravening that Benjamin do with each other,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Right.
So they didn't really have beef with each other, but they do have beef. I guess,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you ever see Benjamin would be talking to each other, and then, like, it'll be like they just asking for directions, and it sounded like they were, like, cursing
right.
out each other's moms.
Right,
you know
right.
what I'm saying? So yeah. So it was funny when I saw that as we were going through that. But Honduras, they received the image, I think, much more than Mexico, but it was still good, bro. Like, everybody was like, you know, all right with it, you know?
It was, like, super dope that, like, people were coming up, you know, because, you know, you guys do stop at the tourist place, right? So they want to have, you know, traditional garbs for them, right? Activities, entertainment. And then they're all wearing fringes and, like, everything else.
Yeah.
And it was like, yo, this is perfect to, like, bring out those camp signs. Bring up these scriptures to show, because I guarantee if the question was rise to each and every single one of them, why are you guys wearing those? And they all had different answers. I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Gad. You ask Gad, you know, like, why do you wear those fringes? And someone told us before, oh, because it represents grass, and grass is nature, and it's like the earth, and it's, you know,
yeah,
all this crap.
Well, it's all types of stuff mixed in that they get confused about and whatnot. But so sister asked, was Judah out there? I guess just you mean on the island. You know, nobody confirmed that I know of. I mean, we had a lot of camps. I can only speak to, you know, where I was and the people I was with. But I mean, again, you got to know, especially when you think of, is it Honduras with the Olmecs? I believe so. One of them is the, Garifunas. And I think that was, anyway, but I'm trying to get it right. But there's intertwining with both. But I mean, if you look historically, you know that when you look at Olmecs, if you look up Olmecs, you'll see the imagery of the Olmecs. And, you know, they have the typical characteristics of Judah as far as features, if you want to go stereotypical. And So, yeah, I would say, you know, there's tribes everywhere, you know. I mean, even like I often say here, we'll rep one tribe and we might be something else in that day. You know, you only go with what you know your father is.
Right.
But confirmed Judah out there, maybe not that I knew confirmed, but I'm pretty sure they were. I mean, you look at some of the people and you can say, okay, you know, this might be a Judite or what have you out there.
Swag was a little different, right? Swag was a little
different. Yeah,
you know,
swag.
You know what? That might be Judah.
Yeah,
you know?
You could tell posture and things like
yeah,
that
sure.
A little different yeah. And stuff like that.
I mean, it's the head tribe. They just carry themselves different.
Right, right. So, hey, and on another note though, I want to give a shout out to Judah that was with us on the show, to Southern Kingdom that was with us on the show, that couldn't speak a lick of Spanish. That because I can't imagine what that sounds like to be there and hear that and try to glean more for that. And these brothers were really in the spirit, man. And I wanted to just like so motivated like to.
To support us,
because you know out of the several, you know out of like the 100 something that were there of men that went out, only 17 spoke Spanish.
Wow, dang.
So wow. That's the other thing, bro. Like you see, my hands are gonna stand up now. I mean, these men serve the purpose in a support capacity, which is great, which is the point that I'm gonna try to make. But, 17 men. Brought that word out in those three Northern Kingdom countries, man, mm-hmm. And they were in the spirit, man. These Northern Kingdom brothers that came with us, you know, I think I saw Deacon Laba on his page. I had posted a thing. He said some flew to coop. Some silly doves flew to coop.
Yeah, he says,
but the real men of the North stood up when he was showing some of the brothers that were there, man. I mean, the most I knew what he was doing, man, and we made it happen. But with that being said. We had there was some Southern Kingdom brothers that were reading and you know they did okay yeah. with the yeah. reading, you know, they were willing to read, and others that, you know, they knew enough to, you know, go and do the flyers and direct people to where they could get more answers and things like that. But I gotta tell you, man, those of us who spoke Spanish, we were on like double duty, man, because it was like, you know, question here, question there, not just the teacher. We need this, right. We need that, whatever. We had the radio show. So, you know, and I gotta tell you, normally I'm usually designated to jump on the shows. I was actually, it was real nice for me to, you know, I did one show, to be able to be in the streets and the camps mm-hmm. with these, I think it was just a better experience for me. I mean, after the show, they would go and do camp, but it was in different locales,
right.
Closer to the radio station and stuff. So I'm real grateful that I got to go out and be with the men and you know, kind of order that and see that and experience that with them in the camp setting, man. It was definitely, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, ah, radio shows are always so good,
yeah,
especially
man.
When you get callers and feedback and stuff like that and the response. But then, you know, the fire from camp, and it's like, which one do I go to and what do I do? And,
especially being in a place where no one's ever heard it before.
Right, right, right. So, yeah. So, you know, the way they had it structured, like, you know, like me, Isaac. So, you know, like senior captains and like this and the senior leadership, we weren't really assigned to any camps. So we got to kind of pick where we wanted to
floaters.
Jump on. Yeah, we were floaters. So we got to pick where we wanted to jump on. And I think that even worked. I mean, it's like everything just worked out the way it needed to, you know? I mean, hey, Captain right. Isaac, I mean, y'all know that's my brother, man. That's my boy. He led one of the camps in Mexico. Actually, in Mexico two times, we sent him out as a camp leader to lead a couple of the camps.
Southern Kingdom
like
brothers were like,
yeah.
Like, I can read. I yeah. took a semester of Spanish.
Hey, the first stop in Mexico, he was like, yeah, y'all don't need me. I said, no, I need you to lead a camp. Come on. That's
right, right.
You know? So he came out with us to lead one of the camps, and he did his thing. And it was good, man. I'm telling you, like, just everybody was focused. A shout out to my Southern Kingdom brothers that was in the spirit, man. Really, I mean, yo, some brothers was just even just holding post in that heat, man. Just mm-hmm. holding them signups for hours, man. Just, you know, and, you know, they had their ICS. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah,
dale
luz.
That's
all you need. That's all you need, man.
So it was great.
Dice la verdad. You know what? Just to touch on real quick on. You speaking about the Northern Kingdom brothers, like that select group of men that actually can speak Spanish that taught.
Mm-hmm.
I'm every video I saw was great, and you could tell that everyone had that passion and that fire when they're teaching. But there's one in particular, right? And he's the officer out of L.A.
Elon,
bro, that dude
is flames,
bro. I found myself watching his. I couldn't understand nothing he was saying, but I was like, yo, this dude's bringing it out,
bro. That dude has a lot, and it's crazy because his demeanor outside of that setting,
mm-hmm.
he's probably shorter than me. You know, right. Little dude. You know what I'm saying? Quiet, respectful, mm-hmm. meek spirit. You know what I'm saying? Don't sleep on that dude. You saw the bow. There's one clip where he's there, bro. You see him like just like.
And he's like this.
Yeah. Bro, that dude started teaching. I was impressed, bro. Yeah. I was very impressed, man. There's a spirit working. Lord willing, stay with him. The Most High, I don't take that from him. I'm going to be dealing with that in our class today about, you know, the reprobate mind. So I'm gonna teach here in Phoenix.
Bro, I couldn't understand nothing that was being said, but I was getting fired up. I was like,
that dude was on fire. I was very Eli did good. Our Eli.
That's right.
He actually did pretty well. He read very well. Mm-hmm. And I think he had like a chip on his shoulder though, because he said the last quest he was on, like he read jacked up. He couldn't teach good.
Okay, so this was
this was the redeem team for him. Okay. So knowing that, we had an opportunity. So when we was, I did my little clip when we were in Honduras. Just down the road, there was a school for English. And we went down. So I was with Amaziah and Tazuan in my camp when we were in Honduras. And he was like, hey, I'm going to go check out, you know, what they're doing down there. So he sends a brother back. He's like, yo, bring a Spanish teacher and some signs or whatever. He was like, there's a school here where they teach English. And the teacher wants us to basically teach them.
Right.
So I said, all right, let me go down there and check it out. So I went down with Eli, whatever, you know. And I was going to do it because, you know, I was itching to go up at that point because that officer Elon, he was up there for a while. And I didn't want to take that spirit out. Like he was pulling the people in. So, you know, and then I had Eliab go up. Eliab's pretty good, too. That's mm-hmm. the brother from Seattle.
Yeah, no, yep.
And I remember speaking with him, and he was saying, remember how he had a little confidence issue with the Spanish?
Yep.
Did very well. Brother was in the spirit. All right. Taught very strong. And so I went down with Eli, and, you know, the kids were all assembled, and, you know, I was going to do it. And then I said, you know what? I said, Eli, you teach him, man. I said, go ahead. And he did his thing, bro. He did his thing, man. So I left him. I stayed there for like 5 minutes. I saw he was all right. I said, this brother's good, man. I went back to the camp spot. Eli did his thing. Yeah, but Eli was on fire. You know who else I heard was good? Damn it. And I can't remember the brother's name. Taller, like a... You know, he's not fat, just maybe a little heavy
set.
The one
that has glasses?
No, he don't have glasses. He's always wearing the big wood Issachar thing. Kind of getting the wig pushed back a little. I can't remember his name, man. I actually sat down with him and Elon, too, and ate at the Windjammer one day. So I apologize, brother, if you see this. I can't remember your name. I think you know who you are. He's excellent, too. Good teacher.
Bro, it just the whole thing amazes me. It's like, if you do have that little lack of confidence in something, but then to understand that you're a part of something, that God says, you know what? I'm going to send you to go wake up my people. That's
thing,
how you
bro.
Know that it's God's spirit that comes on these brothers
and
just overtakes them.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's what I witnessed, man. And I think that's the thing, you know, and that's why I did the class I did on Daily Bread about being the witness
mm-hmm.
and the comparison of, like, you know, everybody has to have witnesses, right?
Yep.
Everything,
yep.
right? And our witnesses, you know, are way better than any witness that they could bring for their false religions, for their false mm-hmm. images or whatever. And, you know, I saw some brothers who in your mind you would think would be least. And that's the point that I'm making. Like, you know, you see a brother or maybe he's not here. And I know the spirit was there for us to put that line out, you know. And I've been trying to bring the scripture mm-hmm. for a while. I want to read it in Psalms 19. But that's the witness. That's the power that I saw there. And I know, listen, you ask any of these men, even the ones that didn't understand what was being taught
mm-hmm.
and they felt it. I know it from the captains, right? Intimately, because we did our round table and they were fired up, you know, not understanding any word that was coming out.
Right.
But through the emotion, through the conviction, through the response of the people, they were able to say, wow. The word did not go out void.
You know what I'm saying? It was God's angels there that were like, you know what, activate.
Boop. Right.
Let me put that spirit on you right here.
Yeah. Let's read Psalms 19. Let's start at 1.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork.
Right, so we're talking, you're talking about the creation, right? You see the glory of God all around you, and not just in the creation with the heavens and everything, but seeing our people, man, and I don't know, it's just always refreshing to just, especially because here we're so mixed in, especially even in Arizona, I would say, you know, the other nations are so mingled in with us,
mm-hmm.
to go to these places and it be only our people,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that this is God's peculiar treasure, peculiar people, for me, even that's powerful. You know, it's like, damn, I'm here, and you know, I don't got to worry about casting
right.
pearls.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
that's how I felt the first trip that we made to Jamaica. Was knowing that it was nothing but Benjamin that was like receiving the word.
Yeah.
It was like it like blew me away.
Yeah, so there's power in that, right? So to me, that declares God's glory because the abundance of a people that was almost destroyed to extinction, to the and Daniel, it tells you what's happened to us is not like what's happened to anybody.
That's right.
So you talk about that BS Holocaust that they talk about with Amalek, all right, which are the so-called Jews, the Jewish people. And all, you know, they try to give the South so that, man, we were killed almost to extinction, and especially with Northern Kingdom, I understand that. Like for us to, when I see the abundance of our people when we go to these places, I see the prophecy of where he talks about how he would near destroy us, but that we would still be like the sands of the sea.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I see that, and it's just, it's powerful. It's powerful. Go ahead, read.
Verse 2, day unto day utter speech. And night unto night showeth knowledge.
And it's funny because you say that, right? Like, you know, how was it for me having been here for a while? And, you know, like I said, I've seen this day unto day. We've had knowledge night unto night. Mm-hmm. The water's increasing, knowledge being more abound. And how equipped these brothers were to go out there. Not that I had any doubts. It's not like I went there and I said, oh, gosh, you know, I hope these brothers do good.
Right.
No, man. Right. Everybody was like, yo, we're going to go and we're going to do what we need to do. And it came out. I came out so strong and with so much passion and conviction. I mean, and y'all see it. You saw the clip with that one brother.
I'm telling you, bro. I was fired up watching that thing.
That thing needs to be in the trailer. And, you know, we're going to drop a little thing with him about his testimony. You know, that brother was into gangs and everything. Mm-hmm. He spoke about it openly on video. I'm not going to steal his thunder on it. We have a nice little segment with him about what he came out of. And, you know, that's the other thing that was impressed upon me. I was like, damn, look, I said, all of us from different lifestyles, different things, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And to be able to come together in commonality with this, you know, different walks of life. You want to talk about things that we put off, everybody to varying degrees, some from very severe things. Some, you know, some were murderers, some were man stealers, some were those things. You know what I'm saying? And to see us all unified in this, bro, that thing was crazy, man. And you want to know what else is heavy? That it's not in that Christianity spirit. And when I say Christianity, I mean the religion Christianity. Because, you know, you'll have people that will come together in that, but it's a bunch of soft, mamby-pambies. They're not even sure what the hell they preaching or prophesying.
Right, right.
Because they go. They've seen people come on missions to minister unto them.
Evangelists
and stuff like that. They ain't never seen evangelizing like they saw with us there. I'll tell you
and
that.
You know, and then that's why I wanted to have you bring out that point. Because, like we were right here, right? Day to day, night to night, show of knowledge, right? You've been here about 11 years now. And you've been, like you said, you watched the waters rise. You've helped lay the foundation. And now you're being a part of this prophecy that we read in Matthew 28 coming to pass, right? So brothers that have been here, you know, 6 months and they are in good standing and can join the quest, don't see it the same way that you see.
It's heavy that you say that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's there's a different appreciation for it,
right,
I think.
Right, exactly.
And respect for it.
Right.
You know, and in light of things, I'm not going to go left on this because to me that thing is done. People are always going to leave. And, you know, we had, you know, a couple months where there was a lot of attention on it. But for you to walk away from something like that, rather than try to apply something as simple as Matthew 18:15, you know, to and go through that stuff. I mean, shame on you. It shows that your appreciation for what we're doing as a body is not there. You know, and you could sit there and say, oh, well, I helped contribute to that or whatever. Well, guess what? The scripture tells you a dispensation of the gospel is given unto you then. Mm-hmm. And again, that's why today, you know, I was kind of motivated and driven in the spirit to talk to the body about the reprobate mind. That's kind of maybe the crux of my class. But like you said, it's a different thing. It's a different thing and it's a different vibe. And, you know, maybe more things would need to be magnified for those who are here less time to see that. And it's not so much about the time in, right? Because, you know, we understand the scriptures. It tells you it's not the number of years or anything like that. But the fruit that comes out of that.
Right.
And, yeah, man, it's very telling, bro. I'm telling you, never in my wildest dreams could I have envisioned, though I knew what the scriptures said, what I witnessed on this quest, and what I witness every trip and every step that we take, and as we continue to move forward and charge forward, and
right.
you know, you should. I'm not going to say your faith may never waver. I think sometimes it'll waver and you don't even realize it is.
Right.
You have moments where it's like that. But I don't think anybody should ever be overcome to the point where, and I'm not even talking about sin, right? Because we know we have grace. We're in the grace period for that stuff. That should be the least thing. Shame on you if you let sin make you run away. Like we were talking about certain brothers, like, you know, they struggle and they think, oh, I'm not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, that's light.
That's right.
You dealing with sin is light. Mm-hmm. Like that's really a light thing because you don't have the pain of death on it. Like brothers want to commit suicide off of I sinned. Oh, that's it.
Right.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't have godly sorrow and stuff like that. Don't be overcome of that stuff. But my point is the bigger mission and the bigger thing is don't fall out the fight. You know what I'm saying? Like
that's why I told you yesterday,
hey,
remember?
It's like that was that Rocky clip where he's talking to his son that everybody be putting on there. He was like, it's not about, you know, how many times you win or whatever. It's that you can
no, it's not. It's not how hard you get hit. It's how hard you can get hit and keep getting up.
Yeah. Hey, but that's basically what I see here. So seeing that and the magnification of that is powerful. Go ahead, let's read on real quick.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 19, verse 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard.
Amen. All praises to the Most High in Christ. There was no speech or no language where that was voice was not heard.
Mm-hmm.
They let me tell you, these countries, Honduras got the word. The Bahamas got the word. I got to teach in English in the Bahamas, all right, a little bit here and there. Bahamas got the word. Honduras got the word. Mexico got the word. Guess what? You know who else got the word? Belize. Because the radio shows broadcast out to Honduras, Mexico, and Belize.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They got the word. And it says in different languages we did that thing.
And then for the brothers that are Benjamin that were in Honduras or in the Bahamas, right, that spoke the broken dialect, guess what? We have brothers that speak that too.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like right. You got 17 brothers that are certified to speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all of those brothers, out of all those countries that we went to, and the word still didn't go out void.
Right. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Where their voice is not heard. Okay, read on.
Verse 4. Their line is going out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun.
Damn. So he's saying, listen, he set a tabernacle for the sun, a tabernacle for the knowledge. Like, we're the keepers of that knowledge. A tabernacle is something that holds something,
mm-hmm.
right? It keeps something protected. And it says, in them, all right, our line has gone out through all the earth. And you're seeing that. Listen, you're going to see more stuff. You're going to see continued areas of the diaspora being touched by our people.
Right.
And there's nobody moving like that in the earth today. You know, I was saying on the ship when we were doing the discussion, you know what I saw? I mean, I saw a lot of things, and I'm not going to take away from what the documentary will say. You got to imagine how we're getting to a point, going back to kind of your first question that you started with, and, you know, how I've been here and what I saw and what I'm living now and seeing that and the appreciation for it. The next level, what you're going to see, think about how the apostles rolled, right? And what did they do after Christ left? They would go and they would spend weeks, months, or years at a time
mm-hmm.
in these different parts of the world
mm-hmm.
to help build up the churches there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he'll tell you, I was with you for a season. I was with you for this. I was with you for that. That's the next phase. This time it was a ship, an island, one time. We do 7-day trips and, you know, we hit it hard and we bang on it 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting to that point. And, you know, you got to see it. You got to count the cost. Brothers who want to be teachers and ministers and evangelists, where brothers are going to go and we're going to say, hey, man, we need you to spend 3 months in, you know, in Africa. We need
mm-hmm.
you to spend 3 months in, you know, there's a part in Australia where there's a remnant of our people there.
Yep.
We need you to go to these parts, and especially Northern Kingdom. We got a big job, but just because of the language piece. All right. And you know, we're there and we brought hope to these people. We brought hope to the hopeless, to the prisoners, and some asked, okay, now what? You came and you told us all this,
mm-hmm.
now what?
Mm-hmm.
So we need ambassadors
yes.
and embassies set up
that's
in all
right.
of these different
that's
places
right.
across
that's some
the, the world.
Yep. Yeah.
We need ambassadors, right? What did I say? You send an ambassador over there. It
mm-hmm.
might be one brother, it might be two, right? Sometimes he would say, hey, you know, send me this brother and send me that brother.
Right.
And it's going to go beyond just, hey, we're going to go somewhere for 7 days. I'm going to go, you know, that's why when Paul says, hey, those who were married should be like they're not. Hey, you might not be able to take your family with you.
Yep.
You ready for that?
Yep.
Oh, that's all. Hey, if you and Esau's military, they deploy you for a year.
That's right.
You don't see your family for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You miss the birth of your kids and all that stuff like that. So brothers got to get ready in the spirit to be able to say, hey, okay, I'm going to go where you need me to help build these people up. Because it's not just the word, but it's the structure and the order and the organizing that comes after that. Because if not, you just have a bunch of chaos.
That's right.
So you got to be able to show people how to act. And guess what? We know of a surety, because the scripture has the examples for us. We've lived it, those of us who've been here, that whenever you start an embassy like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like that term. Whenever we start an embassy like that, you're going to have issues. And it's going to be the common issues. Look at Corinth, all right? You see what was going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, damn, I spent all this time with you, and now I'm getting word by letter that this is going on and that's going on. And, you know, that's why Paul was like, yo, when I go over there, you better fix that, because if I come over there, I'm not going to spare when I come back over.
Yep.
And we're getting to that point where you want to talk about Acts of the Apostles. I'm telling you, and I don't think it's that far down the line, the Lord is going to open up a path in a way where you're going to see that line going out, you know, being brothers having to go. You know, yeah, we know about moving, but, you know, that's one step. But, I mean, it may be, hey, you got to spend a long season here. I need you to be here for a while to help build this thing up and do this stuff, you know? And we got to be ready for that, man. And that's a huge responsibility that we have, man.
But a great honor.
Yeah, how you think the Lord's going to – you think he's going to choose the 144 just based on how good you kept the commandments yourself?
Right.
The 144 is leaders, and he needs to see leadership quality.
Well,
You can't be a king and not do kingly things.
The scripture says that to not just study for yourself, but also those that seek learning.
Right.
So you have the responsibility and the obligation. That's why Paul said, if you do this willingly, then you'll have a reward. If not, then you're just given the dispensation of the gospel.
Yeah, man.
Do what willingly? Go out and do the things that you're required to do to bring forth the kingdom of heaven here on earth.
Let me tell you, I understand how easy it is to, you know, I miss my kids and things like that when I'm away. You know, after like 3 days, I miss my wife. That's like a...
Right, 72 hours.
I got my joke with her. And I told her. She was like, oh, I'm going to miss you. I was like, no, you're not. I said, maybe in like 3 days you will. I said, the first few days you're going to be happy that you don't got to do this for me or that for me.
Right.
And I told her, you know, the 3 day mark is when I could, you know, because I was telling her she got like all of, she was feigning offense. I know she wasn't offended. She was like, oh, I'm going to miss you. I was like, I said, I'm actually looking forward to a little break. I said, I'm looking forward to a little break. I'm like, you know, but, you know, you gotta build your spirit up to be able to go and do these things. And you know, we get it. You know, there's family and stuff there. But just think of it. Some brothers is like all depressed because they were gone a week from their family. And it's like, bro, what happens when you got to go for 3 months?
No, bro. I've seen brothers on weekend trips, like, get antsy. Like, let's go, let's leave. I'm like, brother, like, we're going to go all have breakfast together. No, we're going to hit the road right now. I'm like, okay, you ain't fit to be in this aspect of
man,
as far as the body goes.
Nope. Yeah, man. So, I mean, you saw this, and you know, I don't want to like repeat necessarily what I did on Daily Bread, the classes up, but I went through a lot of that stuff, man. And you got to understand, it's not just that we're commanded to go out, but we're commanded to go out and teach God's word the way Christ showed us to, right? So when you go back to that, go back to what you started with in Matthew. Was it 28:19?
Yes, sir. The book of St. Matthew, chapter 28 and verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Right. So it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then it says, baptizing them, right? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Read the next verse.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
That's what it means to baptize. He says, you go, your line goes out, and you bring this stuff, and it's not go and dip people in water.
That's right.
And then leave. Read it again, that verse 20.
Teaching them to observe.
Teaching them to observe.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching them to observe. We go and we teach their nationality and repentance. Teaching them to observe. Go ahead.
All things whatsoever I have commanded
you. All things. That makes me think of when he says, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law. all things which I commanded you. All things. Go ahead.
Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
And that's the spirit that was moving with all these men there. That's what I'm saying. Even these brothers, shout out to my Southern Kingdom brothers, that didn't know a lick of what was being said.
I'm saying.
But they were not bored. They were engaged. They were on fire just as much as those that were teaching. They were living vicariously through us. They were like, yo, I don't know what the hell you're saying, but I know you brought it.
Yeah,
right.
I know you brought it. Why? Because the scripture tells you all the prophets, everything, they spoke of Christ, and Christ came to give us that. You got something you can bring up?
Yeah, this is going back to, it said in verse 20, teaching them to observe, right? This is Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I have commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. So the observe that Christ is telling us to teach is the observing and the application of God's commandments. That's what we're required to do when we go and hit these nations. Like they were saying, what next? What next?
Right, right.
That's the what next.
And, you know, I had said it, I think, a little bit before I left. You have to show them the power in keeping those laws. And I think this is where I say the teaching was really good. You can't just go and say, yeah, you can go and say you got to do it just because God says.
Right.
But a reprobate mind, and that's the state that our people are in before we get to them with this word, is not going to grasp that the same way you do, because I think oftentimes we forget that we once had a mind that wasn't ready for that, right? Give me, is it John 7:35? It says, where will he go?
Yes.
Right? Even in that time, the disciples understood, the Israelites that were aware of their nationality, they understood that the rest of Israel had to be brought back into the fold, right? I don't know why that's so hard for some people to comprehend today, that and that we would be in such a state of mind that they couldn't even call you an Israelite. They called you heathen. They called you Gentiles. Okay, read that.
This is the book of St. John, chapter 7, verse 35. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him?
Right, so this was after Christ was talking about, like, you know, he was going to die and be taken up, right? Go ahead. They said, but so where is he going to go that we can't find him? They didn't understand that he was talking about his crucifixion. Go ahead.
Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles?
He said the dispersed that are among the Gentiles. The dispersed, meaning the diaspora, those, according to Deuteronomy 4:27, right? According to Deuteronomy 28, that we would be scattered. He said, will he go to the dispersed among, Gentiles means nations, among the nations. That's why it says teach all nations. Go ahead.
And teach the Gentiles?
And teach the Gentiles. They must be taught to observe, to do all these things, just like we also read in Deuteronomy 28, because what impresses upon us to do is that we have to give the sense to the point where we can show what is the value and power of keeping God's laws. Because religion, Christianity as a religion, has not done anything for our people. And a lot of our people, more and more in these last days, see it and they say, you know, I believe in God, but I don't believe in the Bible.
That's right.
And those of us who understand, that makes no sense.
You know, right? You know what, Kep? This is actually what we're doing is marketing for the Most High.
Because right.
Marketing is building a relationship between you and an ideal prospect. In our terms, it's those of the dispersed. And what we're selling them is into the fold which they were dispersed from in the first place.
Right.
So we have to make the Bible relate to them.
Right.
In context. So what may resonate with so-called Jamaicans or Benjamin might not resonate as well with Zebulun. So we always have to,
It's interesting that you say that, because this was a part of a discussion I was having with some of these Northern Kingdom brothers while I was at the Windjammer. And we were talking, and I was telling them, I said, you know, here in America, the way you break down Deuteronomy 28, right? I mean, for the most part, it's going to be the same. I said, but you can't go to parts of Mexico and you know, Honduras and tell them you don't own anything, because a lot of them own stuff.
That's
right.
It's
their little shop. It's their little thing. They have their own farm,
right?
They don't. It's not like here. I said, so you have to find a way to understand what their pain is, what their captivity is like, and then bring that to life with them, and then show them how the commandments can take them out of that state, because they have a bitter taste in their mouth from religion, and religion done nothing. They got that James here, be ye filled and warmed, and don't provide anything for it. So it's like, before I left, I said, you got to show them the before and after of what the power of the commandments can do. And that's why I said, you can't just go and drop hope and not come back.
That's why you had said for me was like impressive about how they had those things prepared for you guys, as far as the like research, because it goes back to what you just said. You have to be able to meet people on their level at what they're at.
And it's not just that, bro. The level of trust and confidence we had in each other. Let me tell you, man. I was in a strange place and knew nothing about Honduras. Forget it. I mean, at least parts of Mexico, there was like street signs and stuff like that. you know, it was a little more organized, developed, right?
Right.
Honduras, I mean, it's dirt road. They knew the names of the streets, but there was no street signs, so that I knew. And I'm basically able to just follow these men because I know they did their research. And
right.
I'm like, I'm not thinking. I'm like, okay, just drop me in the zone that you need to drop me in.
He was like bird boxing
it. Yeah, I was bird boxing
Dang.
It. Drop me in the zone that you need to drop me in. And literally, we would march. All right, camp one, you're here. Boom.
Mm.
All right, brothers, we'll see you later. All right, camp two, boom, you're here.
Mm.
All right, boom. All right, boom. And then we're going to go down this way. And then we all met up going back after the mission and just, it was like Voltron coming together.
You know what I'm saying?
Man.
Bro, that thing was powerful. That thing was powerful.
Righteously vexed.
Man.
All week.
Straight up.
I don't know if I'm going to the next one, though. I'll see.
Lord's will 2020 for me.
I don't know. I know everybody's gonna be. I went on this one because I said, damn, okay. I said, it's Northern Kingdom time.
It's time.
I said, it's time. You know?
Time. Now, you know what? For me, seeing that is just, it is, I see it and I get chills and everything else knowing that I got real family out there doing the best they can to bring in the kingdom for me to obtain as well, too. That's how I look at it. Like,
yeah.
I don't look at it like, man, that sucks. I should be there. I look at it like, man, that's what's up. Bring forth the word. Go forth. Bring it out. Bring it out.
Dale luz.
Dale luz. Así es. Yeah, man. Hey, and I tell you, you know what else was real important, too? Like, earlier you had mentioned how, you know, when Issachar was telling you, you know, that Christ is black, you're like, what? This guy's telling me that?
Right.
I think it's very important that our people see not just what would be a prototypical black man telling them that Christ is black. Because, right? Our people are so negative in their mind, right? They're so pessimistic about life and things that, you know, they'll see that and they'll be like, well, of course you're going to say that. You want Christ to look like you. But to go for them to see the speckled bird.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Tell them with conviction and authority, like,
right.
Hey, you know, this is what Christ, you know.
Right.
And then, but I mean, because it's really not about the appearance, right? Where once you understand historically what happened, like, you don't, that thing shouldn't have anything in your mind. Guess what? None of us probably look like the way we really looked back then. If
right.
you really want to get technical.
Right.
Right. Even Judah. Right. You know, so it's like, you got to think about it just with the mixing and everything else. What we know is that the Spirit bears witness and people, this won't sit in somebody, right? It tells you in Wisdom of Solomon, the spirit of discipline will flee deceit, right? It'll not reside in an unstable, double-minded person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Carnally, you can't be there. We know that Esau and these other nations are not made upright. So this word just can't reside in them. It's not for
right.
them. It was not made for them,
mm-hmm.
which is why they can never keep. This is why even those, the closest that try to keep it the way we do is those imposters, those Amalekites, those fake Jews. And this is why they have to come up with their, is it the Talmud? Is their interpretation?
Yeah.
They have to come up with the Talmud. Because they can't just keep the laws the way the laws are given.
That's right.
Because it's not for them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't reside in their spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to go and they have that form of it, but it's not the real thing. This is why you can't follow after any of that nonsense, you know?
That's right.
It looked like you were going to say something, but you adjusted the mic and everything.
Oh,
like,
no, I'm adjusting my posture. You know? Adjusting my posture.
I don't know what's worse, him doing that or Parium chewing gum.
I don't know. Pretty close.
Hey.
Pretty close.
Anyway, I didn't get to go over the current events that I want to go over, but that's all right, man. The quest is still hot on everybody's mind, and you know, I know it would be spoken about for at least a week, and you know,
no, it needs to be. Listen, we are in the middle of Bible prophecy coming
that's
to
what
pass,
it is, bro,
man.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that's why I really wanted to ask you that, because again, going back 11 years, you couldn't see it. I mean, you could see it because the scripture said it, but now you're living
it. It's one thing to know it, man, and then to actually experience it, you know? It's like it still takes a leap of faith.
Bro, that's how I felt. The very first international trip we did was to Jamaica, mm-hmm. and I was on the plane, and I was like I felt like a kid in a damn candy store, bro, because I was like, yo, I'm sitting there reading Matthew 28, and I'm like, yo, this is coming to pass. Like, we're actually doing this, and I'm part of this. This is amazing to me, you know? So to see that stuff and see it coming to pass and everything else is like, man.
You know, what's special is that the Most High chose us to do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Man.
And then that, and come back into that, right? Going back to 1 Corinthians, how it's not mighty or noble that are called, but the base people, and knowing all the sin that you're in the midst of and the wickedness you did and how much you hated God by your actions, to know that he still said, you know what? After all that, I'm still going to use you as a vessel of righteousness.
They ain't no better purpose. They ain't no orders that'll make you operate with more conviction than those that come straight from the Most High Christ.
That's
man.
Right.
I mean, that's the witnesses that we are, man. Like, he mm-hmm. chose us, you know, and us as a body, but even more so, I mean, you had those of us that were actually on that ship and do that. And, I mean, it's an honor, bro. It's an honor. Brothers were saying, oh, it was an honor to serve with you. Nah, it was an honor for us just to be together. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, we were kind of chuckling because, like, it was an honor to serve with you. I'm like, but when you really think about it, man, it's like, yo, the Lord said, y'all going to be the ones to do this mm-hmm. this time. You know, it might be somebody else, a different crop next time.
Right.
I don't know, man. It's just not lost upon me what he's chosen and who he's chosen to go and do these things and push these things. And if it is lost upon you, shame on you, man. You need to, like, really get yourself more in the spirit, bro.
Like, especially when you understand that John 15 tells you that Christ chose us, right?
He chose
me. I chose you. So whichever person that was there at that particular time to bring out whatever word that was brought forth, that was Christ saying, okay, here, I'm going to put you here. Boop.
A man's goings is of the Lord.
Activate.
Yep. Sleeper sales.
All right. That's the show.
All right.
Lord's will, we'll see what we discuss next week. All right. So that's the Native Latin Black Lord's History Show. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.